Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Dr. Steve, I want to talk to you. There's so much going on here and so many medical questions. We know that you're a trauma surgeon by background, but you also operate the Green Care Medical Clinics, and you treat people with chronic illness. You see people with all kinds of illnesses. The one thing that keeps coming up, Dr. Steve, is I keep hearing people, and I have this question myself, is when are you contagious? If you're not showing symptoms, are you still contagious? You heard the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, say over the weekend, oh, no, I never put anybody in danger because I wasn't showing any symptoms, so everything's okay. Is that true?
No. I mean, I don't think it's going to turn out to be true. And I guess that's one of the real pressing questions that really isn't answered, which is when are you contagious? And we're quarantining people for 14 days once they have those symptoms. But you're starting to see people come out who are testing positive for having the virus, yet they're not necessarily so symptomatic. And I think there could be a significant period of time that exists where you don't know that you're sick, but you're potentially infecting many other people. So, you know, with all of that going on and those unknowns, you have to tell people to err on the side of caution. And, you know, if there's any question, you have to act as if you've been exposed to it or as if you have it. And then all of the actions you take are with those assumptions going forward.
So best for all of us to act as if we have it.
I mean, certainly.
I mean, in ways of just trying to be, you know, who we're touching, who we're kissing, who we're staying away from, it feels as if that might be the best way to protect everybody.
Right. I mean, you know, and it's funny because we've been talking about this for weeks now and nothing's really changed. We talked about containment, but here, really what we have is containment and mitigation strategies. They're just at an unprecedented level. And you say, well, is all this necessary and stuff? Well, yes, it's much of it's necessary because if you look at the past and these past outbreaks, this is a tried and true thing that helps, which, you know, with that whole term of flattening the curve and all of these other things, we should really sort of go into why is all of this happening? Because I think a lot of people are very confused as, well, why are they closing everything down and everything else? And they should have done this beforehand. I mean, I suppose we can point fingers of blame at quite a few people up and down the line. But
right. I don't think this is a time for that. I mean, I think I think everyone, as long as people's best interests are aligned in trying to help everyone, mistakes will be made. We need to carefully correct them quickly and move on. It feels as if let's all look out for each other here, right? And I think that's what most of us are trying to do. If we aren't showing any symptoms, I'm certainly acting as if I might have it. We've been staying 6 feet away from everybody at work today. Most people here at WGN have gone home. If you can work from home, you're working from home. And this is the way it goes for a while. I've been carrying my little bleach wipes around with me, and this is what we're doing.
Yep. Avoiding contact and social distancing. Yes, that's probably for the most of us, you know, our biggest contribution to this current pandemic would be those things that we just discussed.
Yeah. So let's talk about flattening the curve. This is the new thing.
Okay.
We're all trying to flatten the curve. What's flatten the curve?
Right, flattening the curve. Another buzzword, but let's really explain this. So first of all, this isn't a new concept. Public health officials have been using this for many, many years, and the public's only hearing about it now. But they show these two curves. If anybody has seen it, it's hard because we're on the radio, but they show these two curves. There's this one big skinny curve, and then sort of another looks like more of a lower bell-shaped curve. And basically what that represents is the two populations, grossly, as what would happen if the social distancing and mitigation strategies weren't implemented. So basically you have a tall, skinny curve, and that's the bad curve. And what happens during this would be that if they don't do enough to prevent the spread, lots of people get sick at once in a very short period of time, and then healthcare systems are massively overwhelmed. You have to remember, most ERs operate probably close to capacity on a good day. Mm-hmm. Now you take 500 or 1,000 people that show up to an emergency. I mean, this is a massive influx of patients versus the mitigation strategies or trying to prevent the spread and then the flattening of the curve, which is better, which is a lowering of the curve. And basically what you're trying to do is by putting and implementing these strategies, they're trying to stretch out over a longer period of time the number of the COVID-19, the coronavirus cases, so it doesn't overwhelm the nation's healthcare system. And if it's a lower amount of cases at hospitals, obviously it translates to reduced potential deaths. And more importantly, it buys the healthcare community, everybody, the physicians and the researchers and the drug companies and everybody who's on the front lines, it buys them time to figure stuff out, to come up with therapies and treatments and vaccines. And more importantly, helping sort of as a pressure valve, helping the healthcare system, because remember, you have to, there's a lot of other potential problems. Healthcare workers that now become sick who are caring for people in an overwhelmed institution, mm-hmm. now they're out and they can't see patients for several weeks. And you can see how if those chain of events could be catastrophic, played out over a period of time. So that's why they're pushing everybody in the community about this social distancing and cleaning the surfaces and avoid contact and trying to implement all of these strategies now, because it is truly by implementing these strategies now could mean life and death on a large scale, potentially.
Yeah, let's talk about the tests. Several listeners asking about these tests. 1.9 million or so are going to be available soon. You're going to be able to do these drive-through tests at Target and Walmart. That's coming soon, I understand. What do you know about that? And tell us what the test is, how that works.
Well, first of all, I'm not exactly sure how good the testing procedures have become, because now with the private sector getting involved, they have tests that and the mechanisms trying to come out, do it quicker within hours versus how it used to be, say, a month ago, within days. And I think what we would wind up seeing, Anna, is something that we're seeing out in the East Coast at New Rochelle, where they will set up these drive-up places where you roll your window down, you're swabbed by somebody in a decontamination suit, and then you go back home, and all of those lab reports will be sort of grossly collected and published, both for data and letting people know that they're positive or negative. But again, this is a swab that they do and that they have to send off. And I don't know, because there's some miscommunication or some misinformation or lack of information, shall I say, mm-hmm. about how are the tests going on and how quick can they get it done. And you know, they haven't really told us grossly what kind of system would be in place for a large-scale testing. And I think that's one of the things we might find out about soon.
I keep hearing from parents that they're not sure they want to do play dates. They don't necessarily want to go to anything that's open where they're exposed to a lot of kids. And that makes sense. Even though you're not seeing the kids have huge symptoms or get seriously ill, they then go to the grandparents or go to other family members. And I hear a lot of concern about that, because grandparents want to be near the grandkids, but you don't want them to be constantly in contact with other people. I mean, what general advice would you give people? And I know gyms are another question. Should gyms, is there a way to make them, you know, can you swab those down before you use the equipment? Is that okay?
I mean, you know, listen, the real solid answer from a healthcare professional like myself is you have to limit as much contact with people as you possibly can. Not everybody go into a panic, but sort of keep to ourselves. It's very weird, because a lot of these things like shaking hands, all these social mannerisms we have, and it's a very big change for us. Same thing as touching our faces and all this other stuff. These are things that we have to do. Washing our hands, don't touch your eyes, nose, and mouth, avoiding contact and social distancing, cleaning surfaces, all of these things that you're hearing about are all things that have to happen in short order. But again, the ultimate in not being selfish has nothing to do with, say, our age group. We're still young, Anna. Our age
Thank
group
you.
And younger, you know, but it's protecting the people who are most vulnerable, who aren't going to have potentially this little cough and just some malaise, but can potentially develop life-threatening illness.
Yeah, that is the concern. So we all have to watch out for each other. Talk just briefly. We just have a minute left here, Dr. Steve. The vaccine, many months away, potentially, I suppose, but they're doing some trials with antiviral drugs, I've heard as well. Some promise there? What do you think?
Yes. I mean, promise, there's no question. Eventually, they are going to have a vaccine. But I got to be honest, we're in uncharted territory. So let's just say, you know, cutting all through red tape and all the other things that have to happen, I still don't see how they get a vaccine sooner than at least like 6 to 8 months, because it has to be tested. They have to know that it works. And then, you know, it has to be administered on a large scale. So again, this is one of the things that's going to happen. They have it for you know, the SARS virus now, and they'll come up just like they did with H1N1. They'll come up with one for COVID-19, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah, Dr. Stephen Saltzman, thank you so much. Thanks for weighing in. We love hearing from you at times like this, and keep us posted when you hear things and let us know.
Talk to you later this week.